Okay, Sunday morning, Parshas Chukas, Yom Aleph of Parshas Chukas. We're going to be discussing Parshas Korach in the Erica Nita Meir Women's Learning Division of Adas Yeshurun. So, Hoydul Hashem Ki Toiv Gilam Chazdo, thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yesterday was Bar Mitzvah, my grandson, Baruch Hashem, my daughter's son. I thank all of you for all of your brachas. And here we go. We're going to begin. Again, for those people who were here yesterday, I'm going to go a little quicker, but we have to begin this way. But I would like to begin differently than I said yesterday morning, because there is something I'd like to focus on this morning, which is a theme that we did not discuss yesterday at all, but it's a theme that has to be discussed. Korach, who was a giant of people, we discussed this all the years, Korach was a giant. Korach came to Moshe Rabbeinu with 250 Roshei Sanhedris, 250 Gedolei Hador, 250 leaders in Klal Yisrael. Absolute Pella. The Konis Reish Nun Roshei Sanhedris. I saw, I have to thank Ms. Marsha for joining us now as well. You have to understand, I saw Reb Aaron Leib Steinman, Zatzal, say a mashal. If the Mayetzes Gedolei HaTorah of the Aguda and of Degel and of the Svardim and the rabbinic leadership of any rabbinic and Hasidic organization in the world came together, you would have you'd have less than 250 people. And Korach comes to 250 leaders, incredible leaders, and they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You're wrong. You're wrong. If that amount of people would come to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and say, 'You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.'" What an unbelievable thing. Unbelievable situation. Challenging beyond challenging. So now what happens? First thing that happens is that Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, "I want to deal with you with a test. And that test is going to revolve around the ketores. And the ketores are incense, a group of spices." I apologize, somebody has their phone not on mute, and they're outside, we hear the wind blowing, so please put yourself on mute. Now, what happens is that we have another Pella here. The Ketores was done in the following manner. A Kohen went into the Azora, up the ramp of the Mizbeach Hachitzon, took coals off of that altar, that Mizbeach, and those coals were transferred inside the Heichol, the inner sanctum, the Heichol, and those coals, those Gecholim, together with the incense of the Ketores, and the incense was dropped on top of the coals, which created a cloud of smoke, which then permeated with such strength that there was fragrance of the Ketores from Yerushalayim to Yericho, many miles away, to the extent that the Gemara says that women did not have to perfume themselves because of the incredible aroma that came from the Ketores. I do not know what this means, but the Gemara says further that a kala in Yerushalayim, where it was extremely intense, didn't have to kishut, make up for her chasana. There was so much going on, to the extent that Tosis asked Akasha, being Nene is called Moyel, Me'ila is an Isidaraisa, how were they allowed to do it? But that's what happened here. It was fragrance. And as I mentioned yesterday briefly, fragrance is something we don't deal with too often. There's only two other cases I know about fragrance in Halacha, and we don't really deal with either one of them anymore. One because we change, and one because times have changed. One we changed was that people would walk into shul on Shavuos 150 or 200 years ago and be blown away by the fragrance of flowers and trees to be analogous to the incredible fragrance that there was at Har Sinai. We don't have that anymore. And then some of you may remember, it's talking in the new book on the Busta and the Rebbe, where they mentioned my grandfather and great-grandfather several times. They mentioned that they would come to the farm before Sukkot. I remember them coming. I also remember my uncles going out to the woods behind the field and chopping down pine trees, branches. And when you walked into the sukkah pre-bamboo, and pre-whatever they call them now, bamboo mats, you walked into the sukkah and you were blown away by the fragrance of the pine trees. There was a special fragrance from the schach. We lost that. We don't have any fragrance anymore from schach. Fragrance is a midah. There was a time when Gedolei Hador would go on what they call dacha. They'd go away to give themselves strength. We don't even know what this means. To get frischer luft, they would sit in the forest and inhale the breath of the aromatic. Think so. The aroma of the trees, the frischer luft of those areas, and the Ketores did this. The Ketores was extremely powerful, and it says in the Medrash Tanchuma, Pashas Tetzaveh, Ois Tesvav, I believe that there was nothing that was beloved Chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi brings this down. There was nothing that was Chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than the Ketores. Chaviv hi miakol, Rashi says. Tashvish Chaviv hi mikol hi. And the Medrash explains, Rashi doesn't bring this all down. Medrash explains because every other carbon was brought because of an Aveira. And the Ketores was brought only for Simcha. For Simcha. Because it was not brought for an Aveira, and the Ketores is more Chaviv than anything else. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then we mentioned that Rashi says in Parshas Naso, a very unusual Rashi, it's the only place where Rashi mentions this in all of Chumash. Rashi says that the Nesiim on the Pasuk, if you want to turn back, please, to Parshas Naso. Parshas Naso, at the beginning of Parshas, not the beginning, the end of Parshas Naso, it says in Perek Zion, Pasuk Chof, Kaf Achas, they brought one measurement, Asorah Zov, that measured 10. Malaya Ketores, it was full of Ketores. And Rashi says that Ketores, Kuf is 100, Reish is 200, Sof is 400, that's 700, and Tes is 9, 709. And Rashi says an amazing thing. Ketores is Gematria 613. Because Rashi says, if you use the following formula, Gematria shel Ketores Taryag, equivalent to the Taryag mitzvahs, Vilvad she tachlif, you have to switch the kuf for a dalet. Or you day at bashgar dak. There's another way to do Gematria. We all know that every number has a numerical value. Kuf is worth 100. However, if you take the aleph base and you combine it by saying aleph equals tough, base equals shin, gimel equals Reish, Dalit equals Kuf, the first letter and the last letter, the second letter and the second to the last letter. That way Rashi says you can employ a different way of Gematria. You can turn the Kuf into a Dalit, which will now make the Gematria tough, Reish 600, test 609 plus 4, not plus 100, plus 4 will give you 613. Incredible concept, Rashi says. The Ketores equals the Gematria of type. And then turn back to Parshas Kisisa. Kisisa, Shemos, Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Lamed Dalet. The incense were a combination of different spices. We put them all together, we ground them up, made some type of powder, dropped them onto the coals, and they put up this cloud with this incredible aroma. Zok Rashi Vachelbina, which is Pasuk Lamed Dalid Vachelbina, Bisboisem, it is a spice, Recho Ra. It has a terrible odor. Vikairin Lai Gelbina, Umana akosa bein samamani akatoires lamdeinu to teach us shal yekel beinenu letzara bimana bagudas tani yosenu to yosenu with medavarik for the help to save Klal Yisrael. You can even bring in Poshe Yisrael. Poshe Yisrael, who really we don't normally count for a minion. And normally we don't have a problem with them. And we start off Yom Kippur night by saying we allow the Avrayonim to come into Shul to daven with us, the Avrayonim. Before we begin, call Nidre, B'yeshiva shel Milo, B'yeshiva shel Mato, Onu Matir Nispalel im Avrayonim. We allow ourselves to daven with the Avayon. This is related to this concept of Chelbanah. Chelbanah has a very bad fragrance, referring to the people who have a very bad odor, not the people who shower twice a day. People have a bad odor, a spiritual bad odor. They reek. Pardon the word. They reek. And nevertheless, we utilize them for a minyan. It's a pella mamish. A pella mamish. We utilize them for a minyan. Pella mamish. Utilize them for a minyan. So what's this all mean? It means like this. The Ketores, which was Chaviv, it includes everybody in Klal Yisrael, even the Chelbanah. It says, Yosef Chaim is underfelled, that Chelbanah is a gematria of one of the worst people who ever lived in the history of the world. Chelbanah gematria is Haman. Chelbanah is a gematria of Haman. What is it teaching us? It's teaching us that Klal Yisrael with the Ketores is a symbol that we put everybody together when we're in need. The Ketores is in need, even though, listen to this. Rashi brings down in Parshas Korach right here that the Ketores have another quality. It's a Peladic quality. The Ketores have Sam HaMoves inside of it. Meaning, because the Ketores, says Rashi in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the long Rashi, says Rashi, Sam HaMoves Nosen B'Toychei Sheboi Nisrafu Nodav Aviyu were killed with the Ketores. They were killed with the Ketores. And Rashi says, later on in the parasha, Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Zayin Yud Gimel 17:13, in the second half of the Rashi, Dovrachel Lama B'Ketores of Yisrael Malizin and Maranin, they mocked, they made fun of the Ketores. They said it's a Saba Moves. Al Yodon Mesu Nodav Aviyu, Al Yodon Nishu Chamishim Vasayim Ish. Avakadosh Baruch Hu, I'll show you that the Ketores could stop a Mangefa. We said the Ketores twice a day during the pandemic. Just finishing with the pandemic, Baruch Hashem, almost completely finished. So what is with this Ketores? The answer is, there are many things in life that are extremely powerful. And when used correctly, they can do incredible things. Electric power, nuclear power. You can run factories, you can run incredible things with nuclear power, and you can destroy literally millions, tens of millions of people in an instant with nuclear power. Depends how you use it. Depends how you use it. Gemara says, Ish v'isha zochu, if a man and wife get married, zochu, if they married shkina b'neim. Loi zochu, eishach losot. Marriage is an incredible tool. It can do incredible things. It's unbelievably powerful when used correctly. The Ketores is the symbol of that activity when used correctly. Has no limit. Has no limit when used correctly. It has no limit. So powerful. Incorrectly, it can kill the greatest of people. None of Avil died from the Ketores. The 250 people died from the Ketores. And the Ketores includes the Chelbanah, because we can make the Ketores with the Chelbanah. And somebody told me yesterday after I finished speaking that the Chelbanah was the 11th ingredient. Was the 11th ingredient. There are 11 ingredients in the Ketores. And the 11th ingredient was the chelbana, because we had a minyan without it, but we included it anyways. However, when used incorrectly, some of us. The keteris represents the fact that the gematria of the Torah represents the Torah tayag, but not with a regular gematria, straight. Sometimes you want to reach the Torah, you got to go a little bit crooked. You got to take a kuf and make it into a dalet. At bash gar dak, you got to make the kuf into a dalet. It's not always so straight. I mean, not exactly. Sometimes you got to go a little to the right, a little to the left. It's not so poshut. Life is not so poshut. You want to be razor straight sometimes, Rahman al-Islam, you can lose and not get to where you're supposed to be going. That's what the Gateris teaches us. It's an unbelievable thing. Comes along Koirach, and Koirach says, ay, 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 ay. Koirach says, what's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I want to acknowledge iPhone Marsha, and I'm a little too far away here. I see a number, looks like a, I can't see, phone that ends with a number 2. And the phone number ends with number 3, it looks like. If you would like to identify yourselves, you're welcome to. One of them, Mr. Shriver? Okay. We'll leave it.
Hi, Rabbi. This is Ezel on 9693.
Okay, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
So
Lamaisa, Tiketeres is multifaceted, multi-layered. It's the most covered dick of carbon. It's the most beloved dick of carbon. At the same time, it can wreak havoc. It can kill people. At the same time, it can stop the magefa. It's unbelievable concepts here. Unbelievable concepts. The Gitteris. Comes along Kairach and says, what are you doing here, Moshe Rabbeinu? Who told you? Kulam Kaddish. We're all Kaddish. We're all Kaddish. Who made you the boss? Who made you the boss? You call it the Kulam Kedoshim. What are you doing here? Kulam Kedoshim. So Klal Yisrael is being defended, quote unquote, by Korach. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right, Kulam Kedoshim. Who said no? But there's a God, and God said what to do. So let's go a little further with this concept here for a second, okay? Oh yeah, this is hard. I'm about to tell you right now, it's hard, Rabbi Say. It's hard. There is a constant battle, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu set it up this way. It's a constant battle. There's Torah Shem Iksav. Torah, the Vimiksu. Torah Shem Iksav. I'm going to be giving a shiur right after this shiur. It's really this, two shiurim really in a certain vein should be combined. You should be combined. But let's go right. Korach's man asked a very good question. I started off shiur by telling you that it was once, I don't want to use the word accosted, by a lady in the milk pail. I told you this. She came to the milk pail. I was there. The milk pail was a store where everybody used to buy, the only store that sold the kosher food, Kamat. The only store that sold Klal Yisrael milk for many years. Anyways, she said to me, why can't a woman divorce her husband? It's not fear. A man can divorce his wife. Why can't a woman divorce her husband? That's what she asked me. And I told her that the Torah never changes. The Torah never changes. But that really, in a certain vein, is inaccurate. And I'll show you what I mean. What's the din, men haTorah, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Do you blow shofar or not? Men haTorah. The answer is you do. It's only a Darabanan that says not to. What happens when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos? Do you take a little of an eshig? Men haTorah, yes. And Chazal said no, because they were afraid. So did the Torah change? Did the Torah change? Torah says, blow shofar on Shabbos. And we don't do it? Rabbi Isai, nobody's asking me any questions. I'm going to force all of you, even Mrs. Goldman, who was in there to show, I'm going to have to force her to fly in every week. I need questions. No, I don't like you sitting here and nobody's talking to me. Now, it's an unbelievable concept. That's one. Two, there's another concept. It's even much more difficult to understand. And that is sometimes there is koyach in bezdin, makin v'oinchin shaloi men adin, which is simid beis in Shulchan Aruch, based on staff mimbov in Maseches Sanhedrin, that sometimes, quote unquote, bezdin takes the law into their own hands, up to and including murder. Bezdin would kill somebody for being over a simple issa d'rabbanan, such as riding a horse on Shabbos, the only issa d'rabbanan. But if Bezdin felt that that was creating a pirtza, a break in the structure of the Jewish community, because that would lead to other pirtzas, other breaks, Chazal had the right to punish the person, to hit the person, up to and including killing the person. To teach everybody else a lesson that that's not the way we conduct ourselves, but rather the way we conduct ourselves is that a person rides a horse in Shabbos, no, he's not allowed to. But it was breaking down. They killed. So does the Torah change? A bezdin kill somebody. Without Edim, without Hasra, they kill a person. It's a pellet. So what's going on here? What's going on? And then, anybody on the Zoom, or right here, anybody has a chumash in front of them, or any sefer that anybody has in their house, every sefer you have in your house, 99.999999% of the svarim you have in your house, every sefer is an issur d'oraisa. So now I have any svarim, based on Gemara, based on a pasuk, halacha, dvarim shebal peh, things which are part of the oral law, not allowed to be written down. But there's a pasuk in Tilum, Eis Lasa Slash Shem, Hefaro Torah Secha. That when it's an Eis Lasa Slash Shem, when it's a time of need, and you're doing it Lashem, Hefaro Torah Secha, we can break the Torah. And therefore they permitted writing down things that are normally said by heart. It's a Pelamamish. So what is it? Does the Torah change or not? The answer is yes. There are tools in the arsenal that you can say, don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Or shofar falls on Shabbos. Don't take a lulav. Pella mamish. You can kill a person. Issa d'oraisa mamish. You can kill a person. It's a pella mamish. You can kill a person. It's a pella. Absolute pella. Mamish and Pella. Kill a person. And then we write down the Torah, what you're not allowed to do. So what's going on here? What's the answer? The answer is a very difficult answer. The answer is that Chazal are the one who dictate to us what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, and they have a certain amount of tools in their toolbox, as they just said. And when they say that we will not do something which we're obligated to do, such as Shofar and Lulav, we listen to them. When they take the law into their own hands to prevent the breakdown in Klal Yisrael and they end up even killing another Jew, we listen to them. And when they say something which is asur is mutter, we also listen to them. So, in the 20th century, I've said this over many times, but I haven't said it over probably more than 20 years. During the 20th century, there were two shailas that were brought to the Rabbanim of Klal Yisrael. And both of these shailas had an unbelievable effect on Klal Yisrael. One latoy and one lara. A young lady was troubled by the fact that she saw boys were in yeshiva and their sisters were in the back room of the house being machal Shabbos. The woman's name we all know is Sara Shneir. And she went to the Chofetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, we have to make girls schools for girls because girls until now only learned how to read and they were taught halacha, but they never learned. We must make a school system and teach them. Chofetz Chaim said, no. Gerebe said no. And then Sarishtan came back a second time and pleaded, we need it. And they saw the sincerity, they felt the sincerity. I don't know what difference it made the first time and the second time. And they said yes. And Sarishtan is responsible for saving Klal Yisrael. Because of her, we have women who remain from, and because of that, we have women that men were able to marry. She saved Klal Yisrael. Pella, 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 Pella. Then at the same time, we have another person, a group of people, who said, we want to save Klal Yisrael. How are you going to save Klal Yisrael? We want to save Klal Yisrael by taking the Mechitza out of Shul. Because we know that the people are leaving the Orthodox movement in the 50s in America, leaving the Orthodox movement. They're leaving the Orthodox movement, excuse me. They're leaving the Orthodox movement. They're leaving in droves and they're going to the conservative movement. So let's fix things and let's go ahead and let's make a kula that you can keep all the halachas and you just don't need a mechitza in Shul. And the Gedolim said no. And some people said, we're not listening to the Gedolim. And we made up all different types of movements, all different types of things. And in the year which we are now holding, Tov Shin Pei Aleph, Kimat, there's no one left from those people who didn't listen and opened up shuls without mechitzas. We know the history, there's nobody left in a movement. It's a Pella Mamish. Were there people to be even more subtleties? Were the Gedolei Hador that allows some of the Talmidim to go to a shul without a mechitza for a year or two in the hope that they will change it after 2 years and they didn't change it, you had to quit your job? Yes. Were there people who, when they gave smicha, they said, if you dare go into a shul without a mechitza, I revoke the smicha retroactively to my freya? Yes. Major tumo. Then there's a halacha. Can you teach a woman Torah Shebik Sa'av and the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is no. We spent all night shuas about this. And when Sarah Shneir came to Chavetz Chaim said, over here we're going to make an exception. I don't know if he said the word Eslas Hashem. He said we need to make an exception and allow women to begin learning Torah Shebik Sa'av. Said the Satma Rebbe, Zatzal. And the Chavetz Chaim, Zatzal, said yes on Torah Shebik Sa'av. That's why in Satma they don't teach. They don't teach women Rashi. Because Rashi's Torah Shebal Peh. And the Satmar Rebbe said, the Chavetz Chaim never matted Rashi. All the Litvish Gedolim said he meant Rashi also, because you can't learn Chumash without Rashi. And the Satmar Rebbe said, no, learn Chumash and let the teacher teach. How's the teacher going to do? I don't know what they do in Satmar. But I checked it out on Friday, and somebody told me that even today, Tov Shin Pei Aleph and Satmar, the women do not learn Rashi. And then there's a Machloikis. And the machleg is, how about teaching women Gemara? Good, Gansatum. So Korach came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Basket on that, Meisel, who do you think you are? Kolam kulam kedoshim." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hashem told me. Who is bigger, Moshe Rabbeinu or the 250 Rosh Hashanahs?" And the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu is bigger. And if we had to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is very slippery slope. Very slippery slope. And I just told you now we have a machlekes, women learning Gemara. Rive, Paiskin, hold, no. Boy, your schools in our city that teach women Gemara. Ganze Tumul. Kara said to Moshe Rabbeinu, who said you? Who said Aaron? Who said Litzava? Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. End of the story, this was the fight that it led to Korach with women and children and infants dying. Pachad mamash. So the woman comes over and says, why can't a wife divorce her husband? And when I was a hot-blooded younger man in Kailo or whatever it was, I let her have it with both barrels. I was louder than a jet. The decibel level of my house got so high after I told her I can't talk to her in the store, call me at home, she go, my kids ran upstairs. This happened a few times in our family. Our kids ran upstairs and they hid under their beds. I was screaming so loud. Can't change the halacha. Can't change the halacha. I lemaisa, if there would be a good lador mamish on the level of Mitzchayim who changed halacha vis-a-vis women learning Torah Shemitzav, would there be a good lador who changed the structure of how a man could divorce a woman, how a woman could divorce a man? I'd face it, maybe, but nobody's done it. And we need gedolei hador full of Yerei Shamayim of such incredible stature, and incomprehensible. Somebody asked something, I'm sorry. So, that's the addendum here. Today, in this room, I gave a shiur at 7:15 this morning. And in that shiur, we have a story, a Talmai HaMelech, who wanted the Rabbanim to translate Tanakh into Greek. Talmai HaMelech took 72 men, Gedolim Torah, put them into separate rooms, thus came out the Septuagint. And what happened was, they made several changes in the Chumash, and what happened was that they all got Ruach HaKodesh, and HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave them 1/8, and they all made the same changes. Pelah Mamish, Pelah Gemara. All made the same changes. All made the same changes. And Rashi says, why they make the changes? Because they knew that the Goyim in the Greek government would never agree to the interpretations of Chazal. Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu, let us make man. Let us make man. That says that there's two powers in the world. Rashi Chumash brings down, because of Isa, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka said the word Nasa, but they couldn't handle it. And that's been the fight, the common denominator of every single movement, starting back there with Tzadukim and Baitusim and Karoyim. The whole thing is, Kusim, everything, up to and including the whole movement with Askola and the Reform and Conservative, it's all the Zelba fight. And even right now with open orthodoxy, it's all the same thing. The rabbis don't know what they're talking about. The rabbis are the ones who preserved the Torah. And without the Gzeirus of Chazal, without the Rabbanim, there'd be no Torah. There'd be no Judaism. We see what happens when people deviate. Where they end up. Is anybody familiar with the first law that was enacted by the Reform movement, Rahman al-Islam, what it was? I tell it to you, you're going to laugh. The first law that they stopped was that there was a minhag in Klal Yisrael. Lubavitchers still do it nowadays. We say these psukim, but they've been taken out of the siddur. We say them in Yom HaRoyim. Hey, mishtachlim lehevel l'rik. They bow down to hevel, falsehood, and rik, emptiness, and the Lubavitchers, at the word rik, which comes to the word roik, to spit, they would spit on the floor of the shul. And the Reform said, no, intolerable. Even though the halacha says it is permissible to spit, I'm not even walking around spitting in shul. So therefore, I'm thanking you all. I'm thanking you all for coming to help me understand what happened in yesterday's parsha. It's unbelievable. Without Chazal, there is no continuation of Torah. Okay, I'm stopping here, Rabbi Isai. I wish everybody hatzlacha. Everybody should like to have simchas. Kol tov. Have a wonderful week. Bli Nether will be me again next Sunday morning. Kol tov. Tuesday night, we have a shiur. This Tuesday night there will be no shiur. And every Shabbos afternoon, we have a shiur for women at Pirkei Avos. And on Sunday morning, of course, we have this shiur. Kol tov. Hatzlacha, Rabbah.